It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 579. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. We haven't had any voicemails in a little while, so take the time. Call 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Leave me a voicemail. I will get that on the air. Voicemails get priority all the time. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also Mike Nation Net. Check out the wiki. That's at mtswiki.com. There you will find links to all of the past shows, the show notes, the audio. It's a great resource. Another jam-packed show. I have lots to cover. First, a lot of you who follow me on Twitter and Facebook might have noticed last night, I posted up a Tech Vets. It has been over 5 months since we recorded a show. Carrie reached out to me on Tuesday. Wednesday night was fine. We spent hours just catching up, and it was great. And we recorded a show covering lots of things, especially SSDs, NVMe drives, you name it. Anything about speed and drives, you're going to love the show. We really geek out. Great time. Give a listen, and that's over at tech-vets.com. Want to talk about the Toronto Unconvention 2016. It is time for you to buy your tickets and make your plan. Get your passport. Purchase your tickets. There's going to be three links in the show notes tonight. One, the link to buy your tickets. Two, the link how to get your hotel room, things about the surrounding area for the conference. And three, what I'm going to review tonight is the schedule for the weekend. Learn from fellow techs and business owners. You're going to learn from experienced techs the mistakes that we made, what could we do different if we went back in time and could talk to ourselves? What lessons did we learn? This is invaluable. This is what it's all about. If you're even thinking of starting a consulting or repair business, maybe you're only doing it part-time and you need to take that next step. This is what you want to be. You want to come and learn the right tools. Learn from the experts and your own peers what to do when you're facing issues. This is the conference to attend because it's relaxed. It's informal. You're amongst friends. I am going to be hanging out the whole weekend with you. You're going to have lots of people that you have already been listening to in the podcast world. Jeff Hallish, Marvin B., who's in the chat right now. As a matter of fact, him and I are going to be presenting one of the topics. Let me just wet your beak a little bit on the topics. Saturday morning after the check-in and breakfast, you're going to have If I Knew Then, Lessons Learned from Your Experienced Colleagues. Then there's going to be lunch. Then, Everything You Need to Know About Selling Your Business Services. You're going to hear from Marv and I on that one. We'll have a little break, And then wait until you hear these three workshops. One, time management skills. Let me tell you, that is so important because I'm in the middle of that right now, which is how to properly manage your time, where you should be focusing on that's going to be more beneficial for your business. Next, marketing that works. Another workshop, I get these questions all the time, pricing strategies. After the workshops, we're going to get together and we're going to share our findings together. This is going to be an open give and take session. As a matter of fact, all of them are. You're not just going to sit and listen and look at slides. You're going to participate. It's going to be interactive. We will adapt to your questions, to the issues that you bring up. You're going to have lots of great learning opportunities here. Sunday morning, breakfast, then it's labs. The Essential Network Toolkit. Diagnose your network better, smarter, faster. Let me tell you, I'm going to be front row in that session, listening and learning, because that is very important. It is extremely important. When you're doing what we're doing, being able to have the right tools, the right software, the right hardware to diagnose network problems. I live in those trenches every day, and I will take any morsel that I can find that's going to help me. Next lab, improving your web presence. Important. And this is a great segue from there, because Bryce from TechNibble has a new website analysis tool that you can, whatever business you're in, for just $49, wait until you hear what you get, because I got a great report on my mhsconsulting.net, which is my website for my business. I got a great analysis with lots of tips for things that I got to improve and I got to do. You will get a personalized PDF report detailing exactly what's wrong with your site, how to fix it, and examples of best practices. The report's going to include sales copy review, site usability review, funnel optimization, conversion review, a mobile responsive check. How does your site look on a mobile device? Load speed tests, and of course, search engine optimization review. Very important. You need to take advantage of all of this. And please, there's only 100 ticket limit for the conference. I want to get back to this. Purchase your tickets. Do that as soon as you can so you can at least have it reserved for going up there. If you run into an issue that you can't attend, you email us. We will take care of a refund. So don't worry about that. Buy your tickets. Don't get locked out, because this is a great conference and it's June 22nd to the 24th. It's over the weekend. I'm going to be up there the whole week before. I have some other things planned with my kids, Hockey Hall of Fame and some other stuff. Come up. Email me when you buy the tickets. If you're going to come in early, we might have a meetup or do something Thursday night, maybe even Friday afternoon. We'll do something for lunch or something. Please take the time. Check out all the links that I have. I'm going to have in the show notes. Make your commitment. All right, couple important tips. And hopefully it's not too late for you. There's a Windows 7 update. Knowledge Base article 313-3977. Uncheck it. It's an important update from Microsoft. And what it will do, if you have an Asus motherboard, guess what? You'll never boot again. Remove this patch update. What's Microsoft doing? I am so fed up with Microsoft not properly testing their patches. And shame on Asus if they had an opportunity to look at this and haven't released a fix. I have never seen so many bad updates coming from Microsoft than any years past. I am seeing so many. There's three updates that kills Shadow Protect if you're using it for a backup that was released weeks ago. This is insane. We now have to turn off automatic updates. Before, I used to be on the fence. I used to say, hey, you know what? It's important to be able to have a zero-day infection patched or a zero-day vulnerability. And my advice was always automatic updates, do it. No, now you can kill your system if you have automatic updates. You got to let them go in the wild for a bit and then come back. That article number again, that update number is 313-3977. Do whatever you can to stop that from updating on your system, especially if you have an ASUS motherboard. And that's just one. This happens all the time. So what I'm doing for my business, I am taking aggressive steps to manage the updates for all of my clients that are paying for my retainer services. And yeah, I guess I am going to turn into an MSP for this, where I will vet and keep an eye out on updates, not have any of those updates be applied until I give the okay and the clear to apply the updates. And then I will unleash the hounds and let all the systems that I'm managing update. This is how it has to be. And what a great way to sell that service by using these examples to clients that are on the edge, whether they should do this or not. I will share these experiences with them. You don't want to be one of those victims of a bad patch, and that won't happen on my watch. So that's an important selling tactic for those services. So I am aggressively exploring those services right now. Time for email. This is from Mark. This was a few weeks ago, and I didn't get a chance to get to it. Hi, Mike. Hope you are well. Glad to hear your eye surgery was a success. I have what I hope is a simple question for you, as I know how crazy busy you are, and I don't want to bother you. About a month ago, I purchased FABS Pro at your recommendation. I now have my first opportunity to use it for a data migration, and I'm a bit nervous. Can you share your workflow with me? Mainly, do you start on the new system, Windows 10, by running all the updates, etc., and then do the restore? Also, I assume I will need to reinstall Office, Outlook, etc., correct? So let me take a shot. Perform a full FABS Pro backup. You would do that on the first system or the hard drive or whatever you're starting. Grab everything. You don't have to restore everything, but everything that FABS Auto Backup presents, check it. Grab it all. Then you always can uncheck what you're going to restore. Also, beware of the following. Know what other directories there could be. You can add these directories. It gives you a chance to add directories that FABS isn't grabbing. Take a look for self-made folders that maybe the user put off the C drive that they have data in, or if you don't recognize it, grab it. It's better to grab it than not grab it. Now, if that drive is not going to be reformatted or redone, well, you can always go back. Once you get the FABS backup, and that's his number one step. Two, power up the new PC, run all Windows 10 updates. Absolutely. Not only do you run all the updates, while you were running Fabs, you have to take a look what software was installed, because now you need to reinstall it. Give you an example. If the user is using Internet Explorer, Google Chrome, and Firefox, you need to install all of those programs. You got to make sure they're all there before you start the recovery and restore process of Fabs. Keep that in mind. If they have iTunes, then you got to install iTunes first. So the first thing I do is, after I run all the Windows 10 updates, I get Office installed, I get QuickBooks, whatever their main software is, get it installed. Then I go to 9night.com and I take everything that I need to install. Great example. Every new system I touch, I put 7-Zip, Java 8. I want to make sure if they use iTunes, put it on. What browsers? Check those browsers. Is this someone that needs different audio-video needs? I might install VLC. What do they do for picture editing and light graphics editing? I might put UrfanView. Are they an Evernote user? Put that on. This is where I check and install Malwarebytes. 9night is the ultimate site for getting everything installed and getting everything ready on a new system deployment. Then I bring where I backed up everything from Fabs and I start to do the restore. Very important that if you have a user and his name's Mike on system A, if you're going to system B, even though it doesn't have to be the name Mike, Outlook is happier if the profile is the same name. So just a tip, make sure you put Mike then on the second system as the main username or profile. Another tip, open up the mail option in control panel on the system you're going from. And if they have Outlook, get all the settings, take the screenshots of all of their email settings. I have a user with 9 email accounts. It's a nightmare anytime I move him to another computer. Just get all that information. Then, passwords. Fabs does not copy passwords from Outlook. So that's where I use the latest version of SIW, and I go in and I check passwords and I see what passwords are being used for email in case the user doesn't have that info. He has number 3. Restore from Fabs Pro Backup. Reinstall Office, Kaspersky, and other programs. Now, this is where Mark made a mistake. He had step 4, reinstalling Office and all the other programs. No, that step has to be before you restore from Fabs. Fabs restore is the last and final step. Mark had a follow-up question, which I have done the following. You can do a transfer, and it saves steps. Now, if you're doing a transfer, you can save a little time by taking the drive. I take it out of the system, put it in an enclosure, or hook it up to a cable, then connect that to the new system, do everything that I said, have everything set up, and then run Fabs and do a transfer from the one external drive to the new system. I do that if it's a lot of data. Sometimes I walk in and a client might have 60 gigs of pictures. Well, if that's the case, I'm not going to do that twice. That's crazy. So what I'll do is take out the drive, put it in my enclosure, make sure it's USB 3. So this way it's very, very fast. Have the new system, do everything I said, run your 9night, get all your updates, get it all ready, get everything installed, then do the transfer. And this is where you got to be careful. Give you an example. Maybe they're going from Office 2010 to Office 2016, let's say. Fabs will back up the activation key of Office 2010. Now, there's a checkbox there. Of course, I don't want to restore that activation key because I've already got Office 2016. So you got to use some common sense when you're doing the transfer. And when you're doing the restore, uncheck things that don't make sense that you don't want to install. I strongly recommend practicing on yourself with FABS. Run it. See what it's backing up. See what the options are. Pick another computer. Create a new profile and start recovering to that second computer. Practice, practice. The more you practice, the more experience you get with software. It's like Shadow Protect. I love Shadow Protect. But you better know how to use it before you're in front of a client and start installing it. You got to know the options. You should know the retention policy and those options before you start using it. Great example. This week, I had a computer, a laptop. The default Windows Backup Restore kept failing on the external drive that they had. And I said, you know what? Bag this. They are on a limited budget, so I downloaded the free version of Macrium Reflect. Easy to set up and schedule at least once a week to get a nice image on their external drive. Perfect. But I did that in my home office. And let's say you've never used that program. Well, don't do it in front of a client like that. Practice on yourself. Always have a test system and try these things out. Mark, I hope I answered your questions. Sorry it just took so long for me to cover this for you. Great email from Chris. You are going to really like this. Major Geeks has a video on fixing Windows Explorer crashes because it was due to things installed on the operating system's shell. The person doing the video, and it's a short 7-minute video, well worth watching, and the link is going to be in the show notes. And Chris, thank you for sending this. He goes into detail using NERSSOFT's Shell X View. So two more links that's going to be in the show notes. The link to the video and the link to Shell X View, where you can remove shell extensions that were installed that's probably causing Explorer to crash. As a matter of fact, one of the great tips, take a look at the date that these shell extensions were installed, because that's probably the culprit. If you are experiencing Explorer crashes a certain day, take a look. What was installed the couple days before or that day? And remove them. Disable them. Reboot. You may have fixed your problem. It's one of the most annoying, hard to troubleshoot issues when you have Windows Explorer crashing. I've been there, done it, and it's nice to know about Shell X View if you didn't know about that. This is from Pete. Once again, keep up the great job on your show. I look forward to it every week. I was listening to your show number 578 when you talked about Windows 98. I coincidentally have a similar problem with a client. A machine died a horrible death that was using a particular program that would only run in Windows 7 32-bit loaded with Explorer 8. Resurrecting an old computer because of one program, that's not a great idea. So I stumbled upon Oracle VM VirtualBox. What an incredible free program. I've talked about that and I use that. It's a great program. You can use any operating system in a virtual environment. Now, I got to thank Pete for emailing me this. Here I am. I know of Oracle VM VirtualBox. Why didn't I think of that for using that for my Windows 98 client and put that in his Windows 7 environment? It's going to be so much better, and that is the answer. Presently, VirtualBox runs on Windows, Linux, Macintosh, and Solaris hosts and supports a large number of guest operating systems, including but not limited to Windows 3.1, Windows 98, 98 SE, ME, NT4.0, 2000, XP, Server 2003, Vista, Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 10, DOS and Windows 3.x, Linux, OpenSolaris, OS2 and OpenBSD. So my client thought this was an awesome solution, mostly because now they can use the program on every computer. And get this, VirtualBox can import and export virtual machines. This way, one can offer complete ready-to-use software packages, operating systems with applications that need no configuration or installation except for importing it into VirtualBox. As you can take a snapshot, this makes a copy of the machine's current state to which you can go back at any given time later. And it works beautifully. Easy to set up. It's a very powerful tool to test out operating systems and programs in different states without dedicating a box to it. Pete, great email, great recommendation. Thank you. This is from Curtis, and it's more on Miracast. Hi, Mike. Did some further checking on using Miracast with my Windows 8.1 desktop that normally has two monitors. Unfortunately, the motherboard's onboard Wi-Fi doesn't support WIDI. So I did some testing using an ActionTech screen beam kit. Found a couple on closeout at a dirt cheap price that I couldn't resist. It wasn't difficult beaming and screencasting the main monitor, but I could find a way to beam the extended monitor. I contacted ActionTech and ended up communicating with one of their engineers familiar with how their software works. He said their technology, perhaps all similar interfaces in Windows, can only beam the primary display. He referred me to this article about configuring displays. So, if the computer in question, the ones in your dental rooms, have two monitors anyway, then you can configure the monitor such that you only use the primary monitor for beamable information and have everything else on the extended monitor. Now, my dental offices that I'm supporting, they only have a single monitor at the desktop, and it's a secondary monitor that we want extended. That's on the wall, that's like a TV. This will work, I think, but the monitor configuration becomes a little brittle if both monitors aren't available when the machine boots. If the normally extended monitor, the normal primary display, isn't available, which would in this configuration include the start button and things like the system tray and maybe the quick launch toolbar, then all menus, desktop shortcuts will move to the beam display. Oh, that would be ugly. I might be willing to work under this configuration because I understand it. I can't imagine configuring things this way for a client, especially when the user is likely to be someone like a dentist or a dental technician. I have a quick little story for this new dental office that I've worked with. My last visit, when I was doing some work there, he said, "That was easy, man. I could have done that. You know, that looks pretty easy." And I asked him, I said, "When's your next patient coming in?" And he says, "Oh, you know, about an hour." I said, "Can I drill his teeth?" And he looked at me. He started laughing. And he said, "You're right. You stick to the computers, I'll stick to the dental work." And we both laughed and moved on, and I made my point. Sometimes you got to remind your client that. And I certainly made my point, and I'll never have to make that point again. I'm sure a lot of you have been in that situation, and look to who you're working with and what expertise they are in and turn the tables like that. You will be more respected for what you do and the services you're offering. I guarantee it. Just to continue here, a quick note about the MonoPrice USB VGA adapter. I have a similar device, also from MonoPrice, that uses a USB connection but will drive a VGA, HDMI, or DVI monitor. It adds a monitor to the configuration. In fact, the notes that come with this adapter indicate that you can add up to 6 additional monitors to a single system. I purchased it to solve some problems with extending a laptop display to a distant projector years ago when I wasn't familiar with any possible low-cost wireless option. My particular laptop and projector wouldn't work at higher resolutions on a long 25-foot VGA cable. Using the USB adapter allowed me to use a long USB and put the adapter near the projector. I hope you find this helpful. I hope all of you find this helpful. This is great follow-ups to questions and issues that even I'm bringing up for my clients, and you're participating in the solutions and recommendations. This is great. And that's what we want to do. Give everybody, you know, that utility, maybe that cable or adapter that's going to help you solve a problem. You're going to think back and say, I heard that on the Mike Tech Show. Wait a second. I can do that. This is from Robert. New tech support scam. I had a client bring in a Windows 10 computer for repair. And when it booted, it came up with a Windows symbol with the spinning logo, and then there was the next button. When you click the next button, a black screen with a blue bar came up and saying, your copy of Windows is not genuine, asking for a product key and a phone number to call. Just for the heck of it, we called the number. First, the scammer told us to put Microsoft in the product key line. That did not work. Finally, they said that the Windows 10 upgrade was corrupt and we would have to pay them $150 to buy 8.1. When the scammer was told we already owned 8.1, it came with the computer, he said that did not matter. We would have to buy 8.1 and install it, upgrade to Windows 10, and then we would put special software on the computer to keep the Windows operating system from being corrupt again. When he transferred us, we hung up. From normal mode, we could not bring up the task manager, so we booted into safe mode, and we were able to open task manager and find there was a product key program that was loading at startup. So we disabled, booted into normally the regular mode, uninstalled it, and checked, and Windows was activated. Thought I would pass this information along. I knew right off the bat it was not legit, but most people have called that number and gotten scammed. It was hard to keep from laughing. It was so funny. Great show, Mike. Keep up the great work. This brings up a very interesting point about scamming. MB Systems Inc. in the chat. Marv and I met in the Tampa area a few weeks ago. And I told him I would be sharing something he's doing for his clients. And I am absolutely doing this. To help with your clients to prevent them from being scammed, put together a phone number list of all the major software and hardware vendors and ISPs that they would ever have to deal with. Put that on a one sheet, maybe two sides if you need it, laminate it, and give it to your regular clients. Include their Dell, HP, maybe Lenovo, Comcast, Verizon, whatever the vendors that they could ever possibly call, that's the numbers. So this way they're not Googling for Dell's support number, and the first three options are scams. Great way of preventing calling the wrong number. I love that tip. I told Marvin I'm going to steal that idea and I'm going to share it with my listeners. And he liked that. Great opportunity to share that info with you. It's just one of those great added values that you can bring to your customers and your clients to show how much you care, how important this is, and make sure it's put at a critical spot, maybe by the server or wherever their network closet is. So this way, if they ever have to, they can't get a hold of you and they got to call that vendor, call that software company, they can do it and legitimately get the right tech support phone number. This is from Christopher. Thought you took care of some dental offices. Check out this latest Krebs on security. This is dental assistant mails malware to members. This is dental software that included malware that went out to dental offices. I'm going to have the link in the show notes. And Christopher, thank you for sharing that. This is from Mike. Time recording and reporting software. I recently started my own computer services business specializing in small businesses in Castle Rock, Colorado, and found episode number 570 to be wonderfully helpful in thinking about retainer relationships. What software do you use to manage your customers' quarterly time commitments? How do you capture your time spent on each customer and deliver them reporting on the value they got for their time each quarter? I am interested in the time tracking, customer communications, and invoicing software support. Whether or not you address this question in your show, I greatly appreciate an email reply. Well, I'm addressing it in the show because I'm putting it out there to all my listeners. First, I do a horrible job of managing the quarterly invoicing, and I do it in Excel. I have an Excel spreadsheet going across every month, going down every client, and putting the amount for that way, the beginning of the month, I know that that's the amount. Time, I am tracking it in Excel, and I'm doing a horrible job doing it. We need good time management software. I need a ticketing system for my business. It's something I got to work on. As you can see, there's a lot of aggressive things that I need to address in my business. One, managing systems and managing updates and doing it easy. I got to automate my invoicing. I got to automate time tracking. So I need a good time tracking program. And maybe it's tied into a ticketing system that we can do invoicing. What are you using? What do you recommend? What do you know of? I will dedicate more than one show at addressing this very topic because it is so critical to your business. It's critical to me. I want to know. So please send me your recommendations and your thoughts on that. That's a great topic, which segues into the final email of another great topic that we need to revisit, which is, what's on your USB stick these days? I checked your website and couldn't find whether you might have created an area for this. What all is currently on your USB flash drives? Regards, John. John, great question, and another dedicated show. Now, I did a show a few months ago where I didn't have time to put all the links together, and a listener took the time, and I thanked him, took the time to put all those links together. I got to get them published, but now that's starting to be dated. It's been a while. What's on your USB stick? That's another great show topic, and I have several USB sticks. I have several that have an operating system on each one. Then I have some that are dedicated to cloning, dedicated to backup, dedicated to virus removal. I have so many USB sticks, it's unbelievable. I have a couple dedicated to the Mac environment. Hit me up with what you're doing with your USB sticks and your toolkits. Great questions, great topics, and let's keep them going for future shows. If you buy anything from Amazon, if you know anybody that buys from Amazon, please use my link, amazon.mikenation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the Mike Tech Show, and I really, really appreciate it. We're coming off one of the biggest months that I have ever seen in commissions for using my Amazon link last month. You have come through, and I thank all of you who have been using my link. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Want to thank Tech Site Builder. If you want a good tech site that actually follows all of the proper ways for having your site done, go to techsitebuilder.com. Fabs Auto Backup, you heard me talk about that. That's the greatest utility for moving and transferring information. The settings for all of the software, for your documents, the videos, the pictures, everything you need to transfer from one system to another, any operating system to any operating system, that's the tool. The Computer Business Kit version 3, you need that for all of your forms, for running your business. Don't forget to support my sponsor, Instant House Call. You can click on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Try Instant House Call for 15 days free by using the promo code MikeTechShow. Thank you all so much for staying subscribed and downloading the show. I really appreciate it. I will see you here next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.